We are going to do Psalm 150, numbers or verses 1 through 6, as a responsive reading, and that should be in the bulletin. We're going to have a leader and three groups, so we're going to go by age for the groups. So group one, we're going to start with the oldest and go to the youngest. So group one, if you remember where you were when John F. Kennedy was shot, like you weren't just alive, but you remember, you can be in group one, okay? If you don't remember that, but you remember where you were when the Challenger exploded, you can be in group two. If you don't remember any of this stuff, then you're in group three. Hopefully that'll give us a reasonable split. Now everyone's remembering those memories, so clear that from your mind. Okay, and everybody, let's do this with vigor, okay? This is a song, psalm of praise. Praise the Lord.
Praise God in the sanctuary.
Praise God in the mighty firmament.
Praise God for mighty deeds.
Praise God according to his surpassing greatness. Praise God with? Praise God with lute and harp. Praise God with? Praise God with? Praise God with? Clanging cymbals. Praise God with? Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for having me here today. It is such a privilege to be able to stand up in front of a group of people and say, let's sing, and everybody sings. It is so such a wonderful experience. I recently went to a colloquium about worship at the Calvin College, the Calvin Institute for Christian Worship. And one of the things that they suggested there is that we should think about worship in terms of what they called prophetic language or wisdom language, such as blessed are those who, as opposed to preference language, I like this about worship, or rule language, we should do this in worship. So then it takes away from just our personal preferences, and it becomes ridiculous to say things like, blessed are those who sing four-part harmony, or blessed are those who use a praise band to sing music. So on the hymnal committee, this is the kind of thing that we try to think about. What is it to sing worship? What is the best way? What are the best kinds of songs or the best variety of songs that will help the Mennonite church sing worship for the next generation until the next hymnal is conceived of? So the last two hymnals, the red one was in 1969 and the blue one was in 1992, so there was about 25, 30 years between those. Now there's been nearly, by the time the new hymnal comes out in 2020, it will be almost 30 years between that. So it's a big job to try to think of how do we sing worship, how do we sing our theology, hopefully for the next 30 years. I don't know if you've heard that the new hymnal will be called Voices Together, and apparently you've heard it will be purple, and you went out and got purple chairs to go with it, where the committee is glad that you're so excited about that. The committee, I'll tell you a little bit about the way we work. There are 13 people on the committee from across the United States and Canada, and we meet together three times per year, everyone together, for five intense days of just singing, and we'll sing a song and say, how does this work, and does this sing our theology, and is it representative of this or that? And then in between those meetings, we have subcommittees and smaller groups that meet by Skype, by email, and do a lot of work then. Some of the subcommittees, to give you an idea of what they do, there's a worship resources group that is working on the artwork and prayers and scripture readings. Like, I asked Rachel this morning to take all these scriptures and make them into responsive readings. They're doing some of that and other kinds of call to worship and sending and things like that. There's a popular idioms subcommittee that is attending to not only contemporary praise music and what kinds of those songs sing our theology, but also making efforts to find Anabaptist songwriters. So the song Seeds that we already sang is from a group called the Walking Roots Band from Virginia. And they're a group of Mennonites who sing not all religious songs, but they have some. And that song was used at the last youth convention as well. We'll also sing the songs Together and Solemn Stillness today later on in your packets that are by Anabaptist songwriters. I am on the subcommittee called Intercultural Worship, where we look for, we intentionally seek out new songs in languages other than English and in styles other than Western European styles. So my subcommittee has gone through over 30 collections of global Christian songs and pulled out over 600 songs that could work in the Mennonite hymnal, and now we're working to pare that down to represent a variety of geographical locations. We've learned that in North America, in the United States and Canada, there are at least 26 languages spoken in worship by immigrant groups in the United States and Canada. We got a special grant over the last year to intentionally visit some of those churches. So me and Bradley Kaufman and another committee member visited 10 different congregations, and we heard Spanish, Chin, a language from Myanmar, Indonesian, Korean, Lingala, a language from Congo, and French in another African immigrant congregation, and probably more that I'm forgetting. So the diversity that we want to represent in our hymnal is not just from around the world, but from Mennonite Church USA and from Mennonite Church Canada. Another subcommittee is the text subcommittee, and I'm on that subcommittee as well. And we do a variety of making sure, going through the texts from the 1992 hymnal that we're moving forward, making sure we find some mistakes now and then, we find some things that we could clarify the language, and then we have I have some examples that we will sing this morning about some other changes that we make. Let's sing our worship today with the only completely familiar song that we're going to sing this morning that is unchanged, number one in your blue hymnal. Be seated. The next song, if you flip backwards in your packet, The Love of God. This song is in the Sing the Story books, which you guys don't use. And as we looked at this text, we wanted to move it forward, but there were a few changes that we wanted to make, so I will tell you about them to give you a sense of the kinds of things we think about. The last line in the first verse, you see, the wandering child is reconciled. The original, or sometimes it's difficult to talk about the original, because when songs were published in the 19th century, they were often, there was no copyright the way we understand it today. So it was often published in many sources around the same time in different versions. So we're very careful with the word original. And therefore, it's not always something that we're trying to uphold, because sometimes you can't find an original. But the song in Sing the Story said, "The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." So I know I sometimes, when I sang this, I thought, who is the guilty pair? So apparently that was Adam and Eve. And so we changed it to get rid of that ambiguity. And then also there's some male language for humans in there, and also some male language for God. We are not trying to eradicate all male language for God, but sometimes when we think about, is it a metaphor or is it just a default? And sometimes when it's just a default and there's an easy way to change it, then we try to change it. So the new version is, "The wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved son, the aching soul again made whole, and priceless pardon won." And I think there's some beautiful poetry in the new version as well. "The aching soul again made whole." I think that's just wonderful. The next line in the second verse, the second line of the second verse, it says, "When those who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call." The previous version said, "When all on earth refuse to pray, when all on earth refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call." It almost sounded like a directive. When people forget to pray, then you should call on rocks and mountains. And I'm not totally sure if what we came up with really fixes all of that, but it gives a little bit more of a conditional of, if there are people who here refuse to pray and call on rocks and hills instead of God, then it continues, God's love will still endure even when that happens. "Grace will resound the whole earth round." Who can find that one? Top of the second page. Second verse, top of the second page. Previously it said, "Redeeming grace to Adam's race." So again, casting humanity as stemming from Adam, when actually God created both Adam and Eve, men and women. This makes it a little bit more inclusive in that way. "Grace will resound the whole earth round." Now, the third verse we left untouched, because that is the beloved verse in this song. And I will just read it because it is so wonderful. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and everyone a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." Usually, it is the first verse and the first line that everyone loves about a hymn, and we try to, our goal is that people encountering these will not notice the changes we make in general. So we try to think about, if people kind of have things memorized and they're going to sing, even if we change it, they'll sing what they know anyway, then we try to be sensitive to that. But in this song, it's the third verse that everyone seems to know. Let's sing this together. Yes, please stand. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved.
fall, when those who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains fall. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Grace will resound, the whole earth round, the saints and angels song.
Have any comments about any of these, please bring them to the sharing or the congregational response time at the end. So blessed are people who sing worship, and blessed are people who sing community. So these sort of prophetic words that I brought as the title of my meditations, or are these singing the songs in the bulletin, are the very most basic ideas about worship. The vertical, blessed are those who sing worship, and the horizontal, blessed are those who sing community. I would be very interested to hear what else you think. Blessed are those who sing what? What is necessary for our church, for your congregation, for your conference, for the denomination as a whole? Blessed are those who sing community. Please join me in the reading, Christ is like a single body, in your bulletin. Let's have group one be this side, group two this side. So group one is your left, group two is your right. Christ is like a single body that has many parts. It is still one body, though every part is different. Therefore, the foot cannot say, nor can the ear say,
I am not part of the body.
The eye cannot say to the hand,
I don't need you.
Nor can the head say to the feet,
I don't need you.
If one part suffers, all parts share the pain. If one part is praised, all parts share the joy. Together we are Christ's body. Each one of us is a part of it. We could say that we are always singing community when we sing together, because it's together and we are together praising God, but some songs emphasize it more than others, such as the next song, We Are People of God's Peace. If you flip over, there's God is Here Today, and then next is We Are People of God's Peace. One theme that we return to a lot in the committee is the idea of being aspirational. And maybe a counterpart to that is celebratory or celebrational. And this song came up in that kind of discussion because we've heard from people off the committee around that that they are dissatisfied with how celebratory this song is. We are people of God's peace. It's a jaunty little tune, and it's very easy to say, we're Mennonite, we're good at peace, when actually there are often conflicts, and sometimes we don't treat each other well. So this is another example of the kind of work that the text committee does, or specifically Adam Tice. He's the text editor for the committee, and he has also published many hymns himself, and we will sing one later this morning. So Adam went back to, this song is based on Menno Simon's writings, and he went back to those writings and added a third verse, the second verse. He added the second verse that we all thought gave a more, verse two is new, that we felt gave the whole thing a little bit more of an aspirational feel, saying that we try to be people of God's peace, and we want to, but sometimes we falter and fail, but we need to keep trying. Let's sing this together. Again, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. We sang it at Laurelville last year, and someone got up and said, "That I feel like that gave me this song back. I felt like I couldn't sing it before because it wasn't true in my experience, and now it is." So that is what we hope for. The next song, Solemn Stillness, sings community in a different way. This is another song written by a Mennonite couple, also from Virginia. They're churning out the Mennonite bands right now, apparently. This song is in the Leader magazine for Advent. So any of you on the worship planning committee will see this Leader magazine for the Advent, the next one, has many new songs that we're considering. The way it sings community is more evocative than literal. All of the images in this song are very evocative. It has more ambiguity rather than rational theology, but it allows us to feel the affect of the season, the affect of being part of the Christmas story. The second verse says, "We are shepherds in the fields watching in the night." So it puts us in there. And it celebrates the incarnation in a way that doesn't say that God is lowered to come down as Jesus. We hear that so often, that God loved us so much that Jesus came down as in our lowly, fleshy state. But this song says, we are wonders, blessed wonders, singing joy to the world. And I think that's really beautiful to say that the flip side of the incarnation is that we have a spark of the divine in us, and we are wonders. So we're part of this story and part of God's story in the world. I'm going to play this from the piano. It was fairly recently that I said to myself, Katie, you are grown up, you should be able to lead a song from the piano. And I don't know if you could tell the first one. This is my first time that I've done it. It's harder than some people make it look, and I have all these things going through my head. So let me tell you, you notice at the beginning, at the end of verse 1, it says go back to verse 2, and only after verse 2 do you go to the refrain, and then back to verse 3, and then refrain. I'll try to remember to do that, but if I don't, I'll follow you. So you try to do it correctly, and I will support you from the piano. The next one, called Together, is much more straightforward. There isn't even much imagery. It's all a more logical and very meaningful, I think, expression of what it means to be community.
Sing with you, my brother, will you sing with me?
sister, will you sing with me? I will sing with you, my sister, will you sing with me?
And then to lead into our last section here, we're going to do the responsive reading from Revelation. That's in your bulletin. And that is just the leader and the people. So I'll do the leader part, and then everyone can do the people part. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying,
"Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb."
And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
That scripture is often used to point out how every nation's, well, if you read this again, every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, all robed in white, so all dressed the same, but somehow the writer could still tell that they were from around the world. So maybe different languages, maybe people looked different, but this is a celebration of difference in communities. So the last meditation was, "Blessed are those who sing community," and there is something special about singing songs that are written by other Mennonites that, for me, maybe I'm related to some of them, or if you have joined the church, you know that we share some theologies or something like that. But there's also something a little bit narrow-minded about that, to say that we're Mennonite and we're this little clan and we don't want anyone else or anyone else's music. So, blessed are those who sing beyond their community. And I have three more songs, and I've been told by Rachel that you guys will stay here as long as I want you to. I could leave the last song for you to sing another week if we decide. It seems like we're pretty late. And I do want to hear your ideas, so to leave time for talking. But we'll sing a couple and see. So this next song, "Who is the Neighbor?" really interrogates the question of who is in our community and how can we continue to stretch ourselves to think beyond the community. It clearly starts with the Samaritan, Good Samaritan story that asks who is our neighbor, and then it goes even into beyond humanity, and how is the rest of creation part of our community, and how does our care for creation affect the people of our community and the people beyond our community. This tune might be familiar if you are familiar with the 1969 Red Mennonite hymnal. This tune was Be Still My Soul. This tune did not make it into the 1992 hymnal. I don't know why, because it's beautiful. And so I'm sure it will in some form. I don't know. It's very common for hymn writers to write words with no music in mind, and tune writers to write tunes with no text in mind, and then you can mix and match. So this is one possible pairing, but this text may end up in with a different tune. This tune may end up in with a different text. We aren't totally sure yet.
Oh,
Another way to sing beyond our community, as we've already done this morning, is to sing another language. Ososo, the next song, is Korean, so we will try this as well. We will sing just one verse in Korean, and it's really quite, the way it's transliterated here, it's very fairly intuitive if you know Spanish or other languages that have very pure vowels. So, ososo, please repeat. Ososo. Pyeonghwa yo igum. Pyeonghwa yo igum. Uriga. Hamon. Hanmon. Iruge. Hasoso. So we will sing, well, first we'll hear the flute play the melody, then I will play the harmonies on piano, then you will come in with one verse of Korean, and then four verses of English. Yes, so this is by Adam Tice, the text editor. And there's another of his texts in the Leader magazine, an Advent hymn. And I will just say this tune is very familiar. Dun da da dun da dun da 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 dum. It's number 8, God, Brethren We Have Met to Worship, and number 414, God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens in Hymnal A Worship Book. And yeah, I think that's all I need to say. So I also should say that we got copyright permission because musicians need to be paid for their work. But we got copyright permission for one day, and specifically August 5th, but I think it's within the spirit of copyright for you to use this one a different day rather than this. But in general, you should not keep singing all of these songs until... There are many new songs to try in the Leader magazine. The next Leader magazine will have Lent and Easter songs, and then the summer. So there will be a supply of new songs to keep trying, and then before you know it, you'll have new purple hymnals to match your purple chairs. So I would love to, do you have any structure other than just, I would love to hear your thoughts?
Yeah, people have specific thoughts. Beth Miller.
I just wanted to thank you, Katie, for coming and sharing these songs. This is just the second time where I've sung some of the new songs, and I'm just so impressed with, you know, I'm so used to singing the hymns as they're written, but just the new stuff that's written, it's touching. So, especially that song about the nature. Where was that? The Be Still, My Lord. That tune. Uh-huh. I think that song, Be Still, My Lord, that tune always makes me cry. And this one makes me cry. So maybe it's just something about the haunting tune and all the words. I really loved it. So.
There's another text about aging and dementia that is paired with this tune.
That's appropriate.
It is. I don't know if we... I don't know if we can go ahead with that because nobody would ever be able to get through it without breaking down. It's beautiful. Something else, speaking of aging, we're trying to identify what are the gaps in themes in the body of songs that we already have. We've heard people saying we need lament. We need to be able to sing lament. We need to be able to sing anger. We need to be able to sing about aging. There's a lot of great 19th century songs that deal with death in a different way than we tend to today, just facing it head on, and soon and very soon we'll going to see the king, or however that one goes. And sometimes those are appropriate, but sometimes we need more about aging as opposed to just death, and we don't have much of that in our current hymnal. Are there any other things that you've thought of that I wish there was a song about this or that? Creation care is another gap that we're filling. Yeah, and that's a good point also. Another thing about copyright is that if you own books, you can make as many copies as you own the books. So if it turns out that there's something that doesn't make it into the next hymnal, copy it from the blue one and stick it in the back of the purple one. It's not something that we need to fear. I know it is something that everyone fears. What if my favorite song is not in the new collection? We're planning to keep about 50%. That's about what the red book to the blue book, there's about 50% carryover and about 50% new, so that's kind of what we're thinking for the next one as well. So I challenge you, there will be, so about 400 familiar songs, and I bet that nobody in here, including me, even knows 400 songs from the blue book and the green book and the current purple book, the Sing the Story, Sing the Journey.
Will there be an accompaniment book?
Yes.
To complement the actual songbook?
Yes. There will be a music accompaniment book, and I think a very exciting new thing is that there will be a worship leader accompaniment book. So a new book that has more prayers and more words and just sort of descriptions of how to do things and how to ideas for how to do communion in an inclusive way, or here are things that you might not have thought of, because we expect lay leadership in the Mennonite church, but we don't always have the tools to equip new. We expect people to just be able to do it, to get up and be a worship leader. So I think this will be a great resource.
Can you tell me at what level the accompanying book is aimed?
I think it'll be similar to the current one. Do you know the current one? I mean, I don't know how to put that into words. They are also hoping to have a few things that are a challenge. Also, in the Leader magazine for Advent, there's a song that the accompaniments will be posted on online soon. I don't think they're up yet, but there's one accompaniment that has a two hands and a four hands piano version, so they're trying to think of new things to do as well. I can give you the email of the tune committee guy if you have suggestions.
Katie, I was just curious how this, being immersed in all of these hymns, did you find yourself changing or dreaming in verse or anything?
I definitely have songs in my head all the time. I bet my family is tired of hearing me sing some of them. Some of them are very catchy. And yeah, and then with the text committee, I always have revisions running through my head, and maybe this would work a little bit better. Because we have to think about, does it fit the meter? Sometimes there's just something that a word lands on a long note, and like the on a long note just doesn't work. And so how can we turn it around so that something else works better? So yes. But I also find the work very worshipful to just be able to read hymn texts and play through these songs and things like that. It's really wonderful.
I really enjoyed the Advent one. And did you say that one is going to be in the Leader magazine?
Which?
The Advent one,
yeah.
Like for use this Advent. Okay, great.
Yeah, you can sing that as much as you want.
Okay. I also really like the line in Who Is My Neighbor? Can it be true that we are made of stardust? I remember, I think I've shared this before, but Sam, or I think it was Sam, one of my kids was like reading a kid's science magazine and was telling me all about like the stars, and was telling me how elements were formed in stars, and you know, like supernovas were the ones that created the heavier elements. And I was like, what? That can't be true. Like, I don't know if they didn't know that when I was in school or if I just missed that. And so then I went and looked and I was like, oh yeah, I guess it just blew my mind. Like, everything we're made of was made in stars. So I really like that line. Uh-huh. It's magical.
I've heard, I don't know if we have any Bible scholars in here, that the phrase, for God so loved the world, would be better rendered as, for God so loved the cosmos. So, again, hearsay, please check that out before you, before you say Katie Graber said. But it's a beautiful, yeah, it's everything. It's not just us, it's not just our community, it's not just the world, it's the cosmos that we are part of.